You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Wednesday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller, 10 to noon for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Thanks for spending some of your morning here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. We're going to get our friend Chris Andrews, who's been setting lines in Las Vegas for 5 decades now. He's in his 5th decade, started in the 70s. Here we all these years later, still putting up numbers. And he put out, 90? What did you tell me? 90?
99.
99 games of the year in college football. We'll see how some of the professionals have attacked those lines, because that's who's in line when they come out. It's the pros. It's not the Joes that want to take a crack at these numbers. They all have their own power rankings, and where they differentiate from Chris's, that's where they react accordingly and do so with their bankroll and at the window. So Chris Andrews, our only guest in the first hour of the program, from the South Point in Las Vegas, a real kind of hidden gem, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe not hidden necessarily.
Well, it's on the south end of the strip.
But way down on the
it's
south.
It's way down there.
That's not as far down. You can still go a few more miles and come to the M. Have you ever made it down to the M yet?
Never have.
It's really cool. It's a nice place. Yeah, nice place. That's where the champ used to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Floyd Money Mayweather. So we'll talk to Chris Andrews coming up here at 10:30. At 11:05, we'll take a look at game number 3. Yes, out of sight, out of mind. I get it. Boy, oh, boy, NBA. It's been a while since we've seen a game. We'll get one tonight. Is it 7 or 8 tonight? It's probably 8 tonight. Since
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah. John Cannon will be here. Of course, he covered Golden State for years out in the Bay Area. We'll get his thoughts as we head into game number 3. Cappy had to move to tomorrow. David Kaplan, our normal Wednesday guest, had a conflict, so he'll be with us tomorrow at 11:30. So instead of talking Big 12 with Matt Poston from Harton College Sports tomorrow, we'll do so today. And is basically, as much as anything, when you're seeing these point spreads starting to come out for college football, you have to have a refresher course.
Sure.
And that's what I find myself doing. We were talking about the Big 12 yesterday. Just dawned on me, man, oh, man, I need to dig into something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are the quarterbacks? Who's all left? The transfer portal, dot, dot, dot. There's so many changes. So we'll pick our buddy Matt Poston's brain on football in the Big 12 coming up here at 11:30. Trent's play of the day, sponsored by Circus Sports, before we get out of here right before noon. Well, it feels like we had a monumental swing on the ice last night as the Rangers, I swear to God, they're going to look back to Sunday afternoon when they were up 2-0 midway through the second period and seemed to be cruising when they took a stupid penalty, and that's what it was. Lose 3-2, and last night they were not even, didn't belong on the ice with Tampa Bay last night, and the champs are back, and boy, oh boy. I'd be surprised looking at this game last night if the Rangers are able to win another game, because the veterans, the championship pedigree on full display last night. No doubt about it. So we'll see about that. Baseball last night, you took the free square. You're
yep.
right. Trent, I spent most of the night watching that game.
As did I. 5-4.
Yep.
I was into it. Here
I was
we go.
Too.
And then a home run that went 600 feet.
It was unbelievable. Speaking of home runs, Polanco hits a home run out to right field. Did you see who caught the ball? Guy wearing a Morneau jersey.
Oh, really?
And of course, they had quite a laugh about that, because Justin Morneau was doing the color on the game last night. You know, he's starting to grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly knows the game, for crying out loud. It's just his delivery.
He's so dry.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And if you can get past that and you know, he knows the X's and O's and everything that goes on with being a Major League Baseball player. He was a terrific player. So, yeah, fun game, but the Yankees at the end were just too much.
As they seemingly always are. Did you see the numbers that I tweeted out yesterday?
Well, I saw your tweet that you were looking desperately to try a place where you could bet all three games as a sweep.
Yeah, just get the sweep and get some plus money with the Yankees doing that. Wasn't able to find it, but yes, I will be back on the Yankees again today. Here it is going into yesterday. Of course, we know the Twins' 18 straight playoff losses, 13 of them are to the Yankees.
Unreal.
Since 2015, the Twins are now 10-30. And 30, a 250 win percentage. Nobody in baseball is that bad.
No.
Since 2000.
And these were all great Yankee teams.
Right, absolutely. Since 2010, 22-60 after last night. And since 2000, the Twins are 47-117 against the New York Yankees.
Well, they've got their number, fair to say.
The Twins have been a good team during this time.
It's true.
We're dating back to a time where this is not the mid to late 90s Twins that were just god-awful. These were, what, about half the teams were playoff teams during this run that we're talking about, dating back to 2000?
Probably.
Right in that range. And they have a win percentage worse than any Major League Baseball team that you see right now. Worst win percentage. And like you said, the Yankees, they're very good most years.
Right.
When you take on a team just a tick better than you in baseball, you should be, 42-43% win percentage?
Win 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Minimum.
At minimum. They're not even close.
Right.
Not even close. And wonder where the scar tissue comes from. It is that. It doesn't matter what you have. And there'll be somebody that'll miss a call. There'll be an umpire that misses a call. Stupid things happen in the games against the Yankees. And last night it wasn't stupid. They're just better. And they're a better
Although
team.
The umpiring wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I mean, the guys call him, especially the guy behind the plate, he stunk.
And Baldelli, inconsistent.
It's a good point. And Baldelli got tossed. Got his money's worth.
Yep.
Good to see. Trying to light a fire maybe under his guys. Speaking of managers, Joe Maddon walked the plank yesterday, and it didn't pay off last night as Boston beat him again. I think you took that free square last night, too.
I already got two plays before even looking at one number tonight.
So you're going to take the Yankees? Mm-hmm. You're going to take whoever playing the Angels, which, again, in this case, is the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
Don't even have to look at the numbers. But Maddon wants to manage, and I anticipate that he'll get another opportunity to do just that. I mean, look what he's done. He was at the helm of the Tampa Bay Rays when, you know, they were laughing stock, and all of a sudden they got good before he leaves and turns it over to Kevin Cash, and they haven't missed a beat, but ends the Cubs' historical drought between World Series championships. He'll get another opportunity to manage in the league. Trent, we started yesterday's show talking about LIV Golf 54, LIV Golf, and wondered... yesterday was press conference day, etc., and they were some difficult questions and not a lot of answers. But again, you're talking to golfers. What do you expect?
Yeah.
And I'm not killing them for that.
No.
I mean, they're golfers. They want to play golf. Are they taking, not dirty money, it's oil money. Are the Saudis the greatest group of God? Probably not.
Well, and where was this outcry when Tiger and a bunch of other guys went over to play, what were they playing? They had that golf tournament.
Dubai, was
in Dubai,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty money.
Yeah.
I think you could certainly make that argument. Where was the outcry then? Was it just different because it was Tiger? And he was at the forefront of that, and nobody wanted to upset Tiger or say something.
Well,
that would
was Khashoggi murdered by then? Because that was,
sure.
Again, you and I are talking world events here, and we are so far over the tips of our skis. But having said that, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, and Ricky Fowler are the latest three that are going to join this thing with the seemingly bottomless pit of money that they are going to throw at this thing. Trent, I'm starting to wonder that this might be a viable competitor for the PGA Tour. Now, what does that mean? It probably means that, you know, when it's not a major, I know how you love to bet on golf 52 weeks out of the year. How good you would.
Yes, I love it.
I know you do. But the fields likely won't be as deep. But my question is, when the guys that are on the PGA Tour, if there's some solution that comes that the guys that play on the LIV Tour are able to play some of the PGA Tour events because they can play in the majors, what are the PGA fields going to look like here in the future? Because they are going to absolutely have to up the purse structure in order to keep these guys. Trent, Phil Mickelson apparently signed for $200 million at 51 years of age. How much more money realistically was he going to make on the course in the next
10 million?
Maybe, right?
Right.
He's making $200 million to add his name to this.
What was it, Gooch, that another one of the younger guys, I think he's in his late 20s maybe, that signed on to play at the LIV Tour, and I think I heard he got $30 million.
Him?
A guy. Just right. A guy on
tour. That goes out, that puts the tee in the ground on Thursday and hopes for a top 10 finish.
You see his name on the third page of the leaderboard right. Every couple weeks. That's what it is. Yeah. And this guy's getting $30 million?
It's incredible.
Life-changing.
So I get the criticism when it comes to the country that's getting, but at the same time.
And there has to be things that the tour has to do better. There's a story leading into this year's Masters. A guy qualified very late. I think it was the tournament. He couldn't stay within an hour of Augusta. Financially, he's a young guy in tour that doesn't have a whole lot of money mm-hmm. In comparison to the rest. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was there's nothing available.
Right.
So, and if it was so far out of his price range that he could not do it. So he had to stay an hour and 15 minutes away from Augusta in order to play in the Masters. That's a problem. And we hear these kind of things that happen all the time on the PGA Tour. These guys are independent contractors. They are working out of their purses and whatever endorsements that they have. And you have a rough couple months. There's no money coming in.
No, you're right.
And then now you got to figure out. All right, I got to pay my caddy still.
Well, do that entrant. Have you seen the news? How the LIV Tour is treating the caddies?
No, I haven't.
Paying all their expenses, everything,
nice.
All their meals, all their travel, all their accommodation, giving a little bit of a stipend,
so you don't have to deal with a cheapskate like Matt Kuchar, who wins a tournament,
and
wins over $1 million,
and stiffs his caddy
instead of giving them the 10% that you do in a win, which would be over $100,000 in life changing money for that caddy. Here's 10 grand. That's what we agreed with at the top. No more of that cheapness.
No, they are going. There's robots in the press room, in the media room. I don't know, with floating around on wheels or whatever that they are, right? And they drive by all the media stations or you grab something off of the, whether it be a sandwich or a water or anything. Robots in the media center. The media will be falling all over themselves to go cover one of them. And the thing is, there's one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. There's one at Trump's golf course in New Jersey. What is it, Bedminster, I think?
Yep. One in Portland, I saw.
One out west.
Yep.
So, there's going to be some that are across the pond, but there's going to be a bunch of them here on the mainland.
But taking this a step further, and this is why we still have to see. You got to flip on your computer to watch it.
For now.
It's not on TV.
Not yet.
And I heard John Oran talk about the television part, who Sports Business Journal does an incredible job.
By the way,
did
you read his piece yesterday on the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Billion. Speaking of flush with cash.
Billion a year.
Yeah.
It's
bonkers.
New rights.
And the windows that we've been talking about, Oran backed them all up. Yep. Fox early, CBS middle of the day, NBC late, gets them ESPN.
But it sounds like in new deals that have been put together by the PGA, that the big partners, the NBC, CBS, even Fox wants to stay away from this tour because of Greg Norman.
For now. Right.
But if we're 2-3 years into this and there's no television, what is it?
Well, I hate to say it because I'm the last guy that wants this. Amazon?
Sure.
Apple
TV.
Apple. Somebody will find a way to get this.
But do those people want to get in business with the Saudis? And that's, we're talking about, it's one thing where you're an individual. You're an independent contractor, like I said, and you're taking this check. It's another for a huge corporate structure to say, are these the people we want to be involved with business-wise? And that's something that I think makes it more difficult for these to become televised because of that aspect right there.
Yeah, we televised the Olympics from Beijing, and that's not the nicest group.
That's true. Kind of different circumstances.
Well, I get it, but still.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's Olympic structure, and they're going to put it wherever they put it, and that TV
and
deal's
that,
already
well,
in place.
They're going to pay to put it. I mean, the World Cup, I mean, this is just complete money grabs.
Yes.
So I think it's got a chance. It kind of is my kind of where I'm starting to come around to this thing, that it's not going to be like the USFL and fold up shop within a year or two, because they're throwing so much money. I mean, Phil Mickelson, $200 million.
They have the financial backing. That's what makes this different. They don't have to
what
have.
What was Kevin Na's, what did he, because he was kind of first.
Yeah.
I wonder if his number came in a little bit higher than it normally would have.
Well, if Gooch got 30, you got to think Na got 50?
More than 75? Gooch for sure.
Pushing 100? I think that's what I saw DJ. Was it over 100
125.
125.
Mm-hmm.
is what DJ got. Ricky Fowler, probably same boat. I think of the money here.
And Ricky Fowler's not making cuts. Ricky Fowler, the orange gear that he wears on Sunday, that's
stays in the suitcase?
Absolutely. Or even in the closet. He's not getting that opportunity because he's usually done on Friday.
They have to have a TV deal for this to work. Mm-hmm. That needs to be the first step. And I don't know if it's going to happen as quickly as some people see. Ultimately, this is going to lead to changes in the PGA Tour.
Right.
And when that happens, when the structure changes and purses become bigger, you know, travel becomes easier for these guys, those kind of things happen. I don't see it lasting long term.
You don't?
Not in a big time level. Mm-hmm. Now, today, when you throw DeChambeau and Patrick Reed into the mix, and all of a sudden this is getting a lot deeper.
Absolutely is.
Just that announcement
and
today.
And both of those guys, well, DeChambeau for sure, and Dustin Johnson absolutely did. When this started to, you know, trickle out there that there's going to be this other opportunity, other option for the PGA players, they all denied it at first. Now, it kind of got out there that they were thinking very seriously of it, and then the PGA got them back, you know, in line, if you will. And then just when the money was put in front of them, they blinked. And I don't blame them. This is huge money. Even if these guys are making huge money, it's the almighty dollar, right? It's tough to turn down. We'll see. Trent thinks it's, what, 2-3 years, you think?
If you I think it'll still be there. I just don't think it's going to have...
The big names?
Yes.
Will it kind of become the European Tour?
That's probably a fair way to put it.
Or what's the Nike Tour?
Young guys, yeah.
Well, they have to grab some kids from some guys from the Nike Tour to fill out these fields?
Well, here's something that'll be interesting. When the next young star comes in, a guy that is a great amateur golfer.
Okay.
And he's coming
so
up.
So Tiger Wood, the next Tiger, if you will. I mean,
not the same level.
But hype around
him. Like when Justin Thomas came up, you knew Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. Right? DeChambeau, we knew DeChambeau right away. When those guys are coming up and they're either finishing up collegiately or if they just make the jump right away, all right, I can go to Q School.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple events that I've been invited to on the PGA Tour. And it's going to take me a couple years to grind it out. Or here is a guaranteed $150 million.
What are you going to do?
At 20 years old. That could be impactful.
Oh, you think?
And if those young stars all of a sudden, those young names.
What do you think mom and dad are sitting down across the table and telling them,
well, it's
take
pretty easy
the money.
This is an easy decision. And how many guys have flamed out? How many of those young stars that we thought were on their way?
Ricky Fowler.
And there's a great one. That obviously has not turned out to what we be. I think that is something also to keep an eye on. That next star that's coming up, saying, hell with that. I'm just going to go make my guaranteed $150 million. At 21 years old.
Trent, if you could buy stock, didn't somebody come out with that once that you could buy into a professional athlete? Well, didn't that,
Zach Johnson did that. It was a bunch of the guys over at the Cedar Rapids golf course.
Right, yeah.
But that all put down, $10,000, $20,000 and helped him go down to Q School down in Florida and see if it worked.
Right. But wasn't there an entity that...
It sounds vaguely familiar.
I think there was. Now, I don't know if it got off the ground.
Yes. But I would have
bought Ricky Fowler stock. I absolutely would have.
Yeah.
Because I thought that this kid's going to be amongst the group of young guys that are going to take off and, you know, just be a part of it seemingly every week. Jeff wants to opine. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Maybe I'm confused, but... Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Kevin Na, Fowler, like, those guys aren't moving the needle. Like, even DJ being ranked, wherever DJ is in the national rank, 15th, I'm sorry, but he doesn't really move the needle.
Right, but...
Like, now, let me make my point again. Now, if you say Rory, JT, Jordan Spieth, Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, now, if you grab one of those guys... Sure, that's really going to move the needle.
No, and here's why I think that the PGA Tour has to be starting to get a little bit worried, because if those guys you just mentioned are going out every week and playing against each other, and yeah, it's a notch above the LIV Tour, but they cash, they win a tournament and they get what, $2 million, and they're seeing these guys that aren't as good as them that are taking home 10 times more money on a yearly basis than they are. Aren't you tempted, Jeff?
I'm tempted, but now again, and I think this is at a smaller level, but a lot of these, when you bring up these kids that are in high school or college, isn't golf more of a, I don't know, don't a lot of those families already have money? Now, I'm not saying they have $30 million money, mm-hmm. but I mean, do a lot of these kids really need that money, or does prestige still matter? Mm-hmm. Winning a major, I still think those really good golfers, I still think they look up at Tiger, Rory, JT, Spieth, and they want to play and win at the highest level. Now, who knows? Maybe 5 years from now, they can still play majors and do on the LIV tour. But, you know, the biggest point, and you've touched on it, is anybody going to watch on Facebook or Amazon or wherever? I mean, they got to cue in on that more than anything.
Well, I appreciate the call, Jeff. Here's why you're going to watch. It's going to be difficult to watch in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know why you're going to watch? Why are you going to watch? It's a simple question I'm asking you.
Well, betting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they put it up on the board, people are going to bet. And you're going to want to watch and see how your guy's doing.
But I want to watch, and I just want to flip on my TV and do it. And I don't want to go to Facebook. And I don't want to go to LiveTour.com.
I don't want to watch K-State and Iowa State on a Tuesday night on my iPad at 8 o'clock from
Milton. But you do it. But that's also for our job. I mean,
true.
This is different. Might get to really watch Patrick Reed against Kevin Na coming down to the wire.
If you got him at 20-1 and he's got a 2-stroke lead on a Sunday, of course you are.
I'll just check my account afterwards. I don't know. I'm still struggling here. I think it's leading to change. I think change is going to happen. This is pushing what tour players have asked for years, mm-hmm. decades on that front. But ultimately, I don't see it being long term. I think they're going to ultimately get the changes that they want. It'd still be there in some form and fashion, and there'll mm-hmm. still be guys that'll take the paycheck. But for the most part, I don't think this decimates the PGA Tour.
Well, I want to see this time. Well, the U.S. Open's next week, mm-hmm. so this is not a fair week because it's a major. So in 3 weeks, let's revisit this, and we know that on the 8th of June, mm-hmm. that DeChambeau and Patrick Reed have joined the tour. In the next couple of weeks, who has joined, has decided to follow suit? Who has seen the money, seen that it's legit, talked to their agents, talked to their financial advisor, and who's decided to join DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson just because of the almighty dollar? We'll see. Brian joins the program. Brian, welcome. What's on your mind, Brian?
Yeah, heard Dan Patrick talking about this very topic, and one of the things that he hit on, and when he said it, it clicked something in my mind. This, you know, think about the amount of money that the Saudis have. This isn't necessarily about turning a profit, because they're, with the amount of money they're putting into it, they're not going to turn a profit. It's about image rehabilitation.
Absolutely.
It's about rehabilitating their image mm-hmm. and getting involved out in the world. Because what we're doing now, that we're talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're not, any publicity is good publicity. Okay? And the second thing I'd like to throw out there is, I'm dating myself, but I remember when the AFL started and the discussion was, well, this AFL... group cannot ever match the NFL. And that discussion kept on for a couple years until you know who, Broadway Joe, mm-hmm. showed them
69.
I guarantee. And at some point you hit upon it, the guys that are still with the PGA are gonna go, hey, look at those guys. We're better than they are, but they're making more money than we are.
Mm-hmm.
PGA, you got to make up your mind. You got to either crap or get off the pot.
Brian,
one or the other.
Brian, thanks for the call. Valid point.
I'll
yep, appreciate it. John is next, and we'll get a break. We'll get Chris Andrews in here. Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
I've been around golf, around the tour my whole life, and I've just been away from it for a couple of years. But a couple of things to clarify. The Masters, the guy that had to stay an hour and a half away, the Masters pays you to come. You get $10,000 for showing up. So that's sort of the majors all pretty much, you get paid to miss the cut. That's one thing the tour probably needs to look at, is making sure some of these guys.
Guarantees?
Yeah.
You know, the guys, yeah, mm-hmm. they can But and the other thing, Ricky Fowler maybe making a jump or not. You know, he's made $45 million on the regular tour. So it's not like he hasn't done anything. He, you know, he's made $1 million this year. And
has he really?
You know,
that's wild.
You know, 981,000.
Jesus.
So it's $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the tour's biggest thing right now is probably looking at increasing the purses a little bit. I mean, how big do they need to be? I mean, if you want to compete with that, you might have to raise it a lot. But I think the biggest thing is the missing cut, making sure guys aren't losing money out
there. The guarantee. I think that I could see that happening. Look, it's going to force change, John, right? It's going to force change amongst the PGA, if nothing
else. And the other thing that people don't ever think about is, you know, I'm thinking – I don't know the numbers exactly. I have a couple of friends that still play out there, but Tiger's got, I mean, they have a retirement plan out there.
They
too.
Do, I mean, which
Tiger's
is huge.
Tiger's got about $50 million in his retirement plan.
Who does? So, Tiger does?
They've got
$50 million? Jesus.
They've got 500 or 600 players with over $1 million in their retirement
plan. Yeah, their pension is incredible that they have on tour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, John, I just wanted to point a couple things.
I'm glad you did. Thanks for listening, and thanks for reaching out. Appreciate it, John. Call anytime. All right, we'll take a timeout. That the pension is that good on the...
It's
on the,
amazing.
That's great.
I was reading a piece
about Caddies,
that.
Too?
Don't know. It was about the players that I read about in their pension. If you grind it out and make a 10-year run on tour and you're, you know, making half your cuts, and you're going to be set up incredibly well. Not just what you make. I mean, just... Talked about Fowler there. He's made $1 million this year. He stunk.
Yes.
For him, he's been terrible. He's made $1 million. It's June. We still got a couple more months left
but
in the golf
the
season.
But the jealous factor, and it's human nature. I'm winning the I'm winning the PGA Tour
last
event.
Last week Memorial. A great tournament.
And I'm so much better than those stiffs that took the money across the pond. And they're making X amount of times more than I am. And I'm way better than them. How long before you say enough's enough? Where do I sign up?
Billy Horschel last week was great. He was incredible. And he took home, I don't remember what the price
probably
was.
Probably $2 million, somewhere around there. 1.8, 2.2.
And then you see these guys dinking around at some track that's certainly not the Memorial. And he just made $15, $20 million. You might say, it's not right.
No, it's not. I will take a timeout. Chris Andrews. Off to Vegas we shall go. John Cannon on game number 3. Man, it's been a long time since we've watched basketball. You know what? We both like it because it extends what we think is the worst month for sports talk locally, right? June. But the time between games, I got to reacquaint myself with the roster.
Yeah, who's still on it? Everybody healthy?
And then we will talk to Matt Postens on the Big 12. I'm looking forward to that. I want to pick his brain on these Big 12 teams. Miller and Cons coming up on 10:30. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Your place.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. Well, Chris, it's Chris Trent. It's one of the rites of, I don't know, June when the college football games of the year come out. Chris Andrews from the South Point. Golden Nugget used to do it. Now the South Point is out first, and they've got 99 games on the board, and Chris Andrews joins us. Chris Trent and Ken, thanks for coming on, Chris Andrews. How are you?
Always a pleasure, guys. I'm doing great.
Good to talk to you. Before we get into some of these, just tonight, game number 3. It's been a long time since we've seen it. Have to refresh our memories on what the rosters look like. But what have you seen so far after game 2, betting wise? Who does the public? Who are the sharps starting to gravitate to? What have you seen so far, Chris?
Well, you know, so far, I opened this game 3.5. I haven't moved it yet at all. I did get a little bit of money on the Warriors on the money line. I actually opened it $1.60 plus 140. I'm down to 50-30 on it. So the guys who do want the Warriors, and there's plenty of them out there, they're playing them on the money line, which I kind of understand. You know, we've had a couple close games, but really not that many throughout the whole NBA playoffs. So it seems like if you like the dog, you might as well bet him on the money line. Get a little better return for your bet.
That's kind
of total hasn't moved at all yet.
That's where I'm looking to here, Chris. These blowouts. Do you guys do the alternate spreads too? I know that's become more and more in vogue where you like Boston tonight. Well, heck, with laying 3.5, I'm going to lay 7.5 and get some plus money. Is that something you guys do at the South Point?
Yeah, we have, I'm just trying to look. We have a couple alternate point spreads. We have one for each team, you know, so you could, enhance your return or, you know, ensure a better point spread for yourself, a better margin for yourself. You know, we give you the choice either way. So, yeah, we do that. About 20 props tonight, something like that. You know, so we give you a lot. There are a lot of different ways for you to invest your money in tonight's game. So that's and we just try to eke out a little bit of profit by the time the paint's dry on the final score.
Well, 99 games of the year posted last week at the South Point and their properties throughout Nevada. So, Chris, how much more difficult is it for you to come up with this number? I mean, the transfer portal, such a big thing now. Guys that kick the tires but decide to come back. Just the flux of the rosters when it comes to putting out a number that you guys feel comfortable with. Is it more difficult this year?
Well, I used to call this a labor of love, and now I think you could drop the of love. I mean, it's definitely a labor, and it's hard. It's getting, the last year I thought was hard. This year was way harder. We had big name coaches moving around. Lincoln Riley's the first name that comes up, we had a lot of players moving around. I have a couple of websites, couple of Twitter feeds that I follow that are on top of the transfer portal. But, in all honesty, I'm not that big on, I'm sure you guys know rosters, certainly of like Iowa, much, much better than I do. So a lot of times I just see names and I don't know how good they are. I have to kind of look them up, but I'm looking for clusters that wind up in one location or another or have left one location or another. Mm-hmm. And, I have a couple other sources that I use to try to evaluate these teams, but I found it really, really difficult last year and even more so this year. So it was tough, but I kind of felt I wanted to do it. And, we've been doing it at the South Point and, I did it and, I think it wound up okay. I don't want to say great, but I think it wound up okay.
Well, you have a whole summer here to kind of even things out a little bit, move those point spreads. And one of the biggest movers was the most important game in our state, Iowa State.
Yeah.
You open the Hawkeyes at Kinnick as a 13-point favorite. It's moved down to 7. Is that still where you're at, 7 Hawkeyes favored? And how surprised were you to see people lining up to bet the Cyclones at that number right away?
Iowa is just a very, very difficult. And by the way, I am still at 7. Iowa is a very difficult team to power rate. They win a lot of games, but they don't win by much. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think they're going to be very, very good this year. And I also think Iowa State is going to be quite a bit down this year. Now, last year, Trent, you and I had these same conversations right about the same time of year. And I was very high on Iowa State. They were kind of disappointing. I thought this was really a year, last year I'm talking about, that was really a year that they had a chance to make some serious advances in the national rankings, in the local rankings. And, they were good. They just weren't as good as I thought they would be. Now they've lost quite a bit. And, they lose a little bit of their mojo. I think they did. And I think they're going to have it tough now going into Iowa opening day, the second week, I guess. But for their first real big game. And I think it's going to be tough for them. And I really liked Iowa. But I got to tell you, Iowa was one of the teams that the handicappers thought I overrated quite a bit. So it's not just the Iowa State game where they bet against Iowa. They bet against Iowa. I try to keep track of the units that they bet. And Iowa was kind of like minus 5 units from the handicappers out there, all across the board, and a couple units certainly on the Iowa State game.
Well, for what it's worth, I was closer to your number than I was to the number that it settled on. When Trent and I were having this conversation over the winter months, I thought it would be 9.5, 10, 10.5, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Who's another team or another school, Chris, that like Iowa – the bettors thought that maybe you got not necessarily wrong, but certainly didn't agree with your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, a couple times I've been wrong. There's no, listen, if you're in this racket as long as I have, there's times you're just dead wrong. But other times I said, well, let them play. Let's see what happens. And I say that with the Iowa game. Let's see what happens. Uh-huh. But another couple, you know, and I joke about this, and it's really not a joke because I overrate. I say it's an annual rite of summer. I overrate Oklahoma. And I did it again, you know. And I know they lost Lincoln Riley, and they lost a bunch of players. But that's still a hell of a program. Especially, I really put them up mostly against Big 12 opponents. And I still think they're going to dominate the Big 12. But I got bet quite a bit against Oklahoma. I said Iowa was minus 5 units. Oklahoma's minus 10 units. Mm. So they really bet against them quite a bit. Michigan State, who I think is another team that's always very hard to power rate, especially now they have a new regime. I was like minus 8 units against Michigan State. Notre Dame was minus 9 units, you know, so, you know, all those teams, you know, like I said, the handicappers have a different opinion as to how they're going to do this year. And, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, but I don't feel that bad. I mean, I thought my numbers were pretty good and I don't just go through the solo, you know, Vinny Miolo helps me with the numbers. And like I say, I do my share of research. And, but that's what makes horse racing. You have one opinion and I have a different yep. one. And, you know, we're going to put up our money and see what happens.
Chris, when you're going through this process, you're putting the games together, you make the announcement, hey, we are going to release the games this year. It was on Friday. Tell us about just kind of the build up to it and people, you know, professional bettors. You know, I saw Paul Stone. He was quoted in a couple of articles in the Review Journal out in Las Vegas, just knowing these guys are waiting. They're just waiting for that time. And and what it's like then when you post the numbers and you see that line forming there at the South Point.
Well, it's like playing a big chess game. I've always said that, you know, and if you ever see some of those films of, like, you know, whoever like a chess master is, maybe he's playing 50 guys, you know, usually like young people or something like that. And he goes through and he makes one move here, then he makes another one. Well, those guys have all day to, you know, while he makes the round. And in the end, usually he doesn't beat every single guy, that chess master. Say if there's 50 guys, maybe he beats 45 of them and five of them beat him. It's kind of the same in the bookmaking racket. When you see guys, and Paul Stone's certainly one of the guys that I have tremendous amount of respect for. There's a couple other ones. You know, Paul lets his name be known. Some of the other ones I kind of keep to myself because I don't know if they want to be known or not. But I have a lot of respect for them. But I know overall, at the end of the year, the sportsbook's going to make its share of money. We, you know, it seems like we always do. But those guys I respect, and I'm friends with them too. Like, there's, I think somebody posted a picture of me and Paul Stone were arm in arm, you know, so. And we're friends, you know, and we don't talk about games, like we don't talk about numbers before I allow him to make his bet. Now, afterwards, we'll talk about why did you think this? Why did you think that? So I can kind of pick his brain a little bit, and he picks mine. But, you know, I see those guys. Listen, you tie up, you know, whether it's $1,000, $2,000, even $500, you're tying up your bankroll till September, October, November. You know, that's a guy that has a commitment, and he's done his homework, and I have to respect that. I know I'm doing mine, but he does his. Like I said, people have differences of opinions, and that's what makes this racket what it is.
I'm assuming it's different from year to year, but when you put the sheets out and the numbers come start floating across, do you start seeing action right away? I mean, are some of the guys waiting for a particular number that they think that for what? Like I'll say, well, I know Andrews; he's going to overrate to Oklahoma again, and I've are they waiting? I mean, did they step to the counter that quickly, Chris?
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't release anything early to anybody, but we put out the sheets like this year is exactly 1:30, and I think by 1:31 I was taking action. You know, so yeah, some guys have a couple games they probably have circled on their sheet as to who they want to bet on and see if I evaluated the teams the same way they did. But yeah, I mean, seriously, 1:31 I started getting action, and then it didn't stop for like the first. Didn't stop for the first hour, but I mean, I'm still writing action yesterday, you know, so I mean, guys come in and see what they like. And, you know, I got guys that made reservations at the South Point to come in and bet the games. And, you know, listen, that's what we do here. And that's part of the game.
you've been doing this for a long time, decades and decades and decades. Sorry.
Thanks, Trent.
Yeah, sorry about that. But, you know, how different college football is now with the transfer market, and we got NIL, and you're putting numbers. This is a bettable market here. This is real stuff we're talking about. How much more difficult is it coming up with these spreads when you just don't know? Yeah, I know you're high on Tennessee this year, but they brought Ole Miss. They brought in, what, 15 high-impact transfers? A team like Nebraska that's done the same kind of thing.
And still is.
How much more difficult is this for you trying to find it and trying to get information now on these teams?
Well, when I really started making power ratings, I want to say probably about 1982-ish, something like that. So a long time. What's that, 40 years?
40 years.
I mean, back in those days, I mean, you got a guy, you know, very, almost, I mean, back then it was about 100% unless a guy flunked out of school. You know, a guy was going to play 4 years. And, you know, got to see him develop. Even, you know, names like Peyton Manning. You know, we got to be, you know, we saw him as a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and, you know, the team around him. So you got to see what was going on from 1 year to the next. And then when Herschel Walker signed with the USFL, I'm going to say that was 83, but that kind of opened the gates. And there's some legalities, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you get some guys that maybe redshirted a year became eligible, and so it started changing, but it's really accelerated, you know, almost exponentially in the last couple of years. It's really just become way, way more difficult. A lot of very few top-notch players stay through their senior year. I mean, almost none. The NIL might change that right now. I mean, I was looking at the one guy from USC. I forget his name. But some guys are saying, you know, if he's like a second or third round draft choice, he's going to make less money in the pros than he did this year at USC.
Yeah.
That might keep some guys around. So right now, and there's always the unintended consequences that people don't always foresee. And, you know, that might be one of them for the NIL. I'm not crazy about the NIL. I'm not crazy about a lot of the stuff that's going on in college football or in college sports. But if that keeps guys around for 3 and 4 years, then I'm going to say, you know what? That's pretty cool. Yep. I'd like to see that because I love the game. And, you know, I'm a lot older than you guys, but I remember, I remember back in the day, let's go college basketball. You had, you know, Lou Alcindor, you know, he was playing, you know, through his senior season at UCLA. You kind of knew what you were getting. And, you know, go back. Oh my God, I'm going to date myself really bad here. But like Steve Wooster at Texas, and you know, guys like that. You know, you kind of knew what was coming every year. Now it's really, you know, some of the top teams. Like I joked about Ohio. You know, 5 years ago, my top two teams were Ohio State and Alabama. 5 years from now, they're probably going to be Ohio State and Alabama. But in between, there's a whole bunch that's changed, and I'd love to see a little more consistency. Although I love the opportunity of teams to rise in the rankings, you know, like we thought Iowa State was going to do last year. But, you know, I think that opportunity is there, and I hope certain teams capitalize on it. And I think they will.
Chris, last thing, LIV Golf has been a big talker here all across the country. So when will you guys, the South Point, when will Vegas, because I'm convinced that, I mean, if you got to bet on it, you're going to go out of your way to try and find it, and there's no television as of yet. But when do you think that you'll start putting up, numbers on LIV Golf?
Well, I think it's right around the corner. We're still like in the early developmental stages of it. We'll have to see how it plays out, but I think it's going to start playing out pretty quick.
Yep.
And you know, we'll have some numbers, as you know, because there's going to be an appetite for people to bet on it. Yep. And you know, we're like any other business in the world. It's supply and demand. And right now, if the demand's there, well, we're going to do our best to supply it. So I think you'll see it quick. But, I can't be any more firm than that because I honestly don't know.
Chris, we'll see you on TV in 90 minutes. Thanks for doing this for us. And we'll talk to you in an hour and a half. Thank you, Chris.
All right,
Andrews.
Let me go pretty myself up.
Attaboy.
See you guys soon.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Chris Andrews from the South Point. Again, it's a hidden gem. If you love to bet sports, you love to bet horses. Great restaurants. There's a great deli in the race book.
They actually have a buffet, something that's a rarity anymore in Vegas.
They do. I remember walking by and it was packed too.
Yes.
As I walked by it.
I think there's one of the nights they have like a prime rib part of it. I think I've eaten there 3 or 4 times.
Have you?
Yeah, you get your money's worth, definitely. It's something that, buffets, that's something that's gone away. I mean, that used to be kind of the running gag about Vegas,
sure.
Right? You go out there and you hit the buffet, and not the case anymore.
The breakfast at Paris was our go-to.
Okay.
I was never a dinner buffet guy, but breakfast, you eat there in the morning at 9. You don't need to eat for the rest of the day.
Fill yourself up.
Oh, the French pastries and everything, it was really good.
40 pieces of bacon.
Of course. It's 10 to 11. We will take our time out. Come back, finish up the hour. Miller and Con. Great stuff out of Chris Andrews. Really enjoy our visits with Chris. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.181.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
One final couple of minutes, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. So you and I are headed to Vegas.
Yes.
If some of our listeners would like to join us out there, Circa is giving us an opportunity to give you guys a bit of a break when it comes to your room. So give me the dates, TC.
So we will be out there the weekend of August 11th, 12th, that weekend. Go out. I leave Thursday.
I leave Tuesday.
Yeah, he'll get out there a little earlier. But that weekend is kind of our big weekend. We'll do our Friday show from the VEASAN studios inside of Circa. We'll do that. Going to have a little meet and greet afterwards. Going to have a couple of the Circa people around, and we'll talk with them afterwards. If you want to get signed up for the football contest, we'll have help there. Also, of course, you need a proxy, how to do that. Some people will be able to fill you in with information. So that'll be happening on that Friday. And then Saturday is the big day, as well, the Cabana at Stadium Swim. Now, you're going to be getting on a bird and heading back to Iowa. I'm going to be partying all day, so stop on out. We'll have the Cabana from 8 a.m. till, I think, 4 p.m. as we'll have that. We'll give you some more information when we know exactly where it is. But stop out. But you can use the room rate, 20% off room at Circa, the 7th through the 17th. Again, we'll be the weekend of the 11th, 12th, 13th is when we'll be there officially. But you can use the rate MC20 and get 20% off your room at Circa. Also at the D that week. And if you stay at the D, you still get in Stadium Swim at no cost.
But Circa's spectacular.
It is.
I've never stayed at the D. The D's a fine hotel. The Circa is it's a whole different level. It really is. And you'll be on Fremont Street. And if you're a strip snob like I was forever, I don't want to go to Fremont Street. It's so much fun. It really is a blast. So MC20. MC20 from the 7th through the 17th. When you book your room at Circa, they'll ask you for the promo code MC20. Put it in. You'll get 20% off of your room. Hour 2 coming up. John Cannon, Golden State, Boston, Game 3. Boston, a 3.5-point favorite. Matt Poston's on the Big 12 at 11:30. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.